Here's a little something you may remember from the good old days.
I feel so old.
You're old.
You're so old.
You're so old.
So old.
We're so old.
You're old.
Ha ha! You're old.
Friday, time for senior moments. The conclusion of week two, right? My memory fading here.
Yeah, I'm not sure where I am, Brian. So,
well,
I can't remember anything.
We call this senior moment.
That's right.
So together we'll get through the next 10 to 15 minutes or so. Executive producer Joe Fortunato is older than both of us, and we're just not even sure what he's up to today.
We're at the end of week two, moving into week three. How's
and,
that?
Yeah, and I thought that Doug Marrone's comment at his news conference was probably the most telling thing. We have both marveled at his candor and some of the things that he says. And I'm not sure that there's a really young media corps here in Jacksonville, and I'm not sure they'll play the soundbite. Right, or grab it and do something with it. But the bite of the day to me was, you guys think that's practice? That's
right.
Not practice.
That's exactly right. And that's, you know, maybe this is a little media football insider 101 too much, but that maybe that's what this is for. 15 years ago, it was 02, I was covering the Colts. 20 years ago, I was covering the Jaguars. This period wasn't a thing. In the media, it was you might during a 4-week OTAs or 3 weeks of OTAs and a 3-day mini camp, you might see 3 or 4 days reported on. It was sort of mentioned nationally that there were things going on,
right?
But it was not this, you know, 13 media access points, 13 times people watching. Reporting progress this time of year,
right?
Trying to draw conclusions from what was going on. It was, 75% of the veterans showed. Most of the guys showed up. A couple of guys didn't. Not sure who did. You know, it has become a huge part of the off season from a coverage standpoint, and I think Doug has proper perspective on it in the sense of. Yeah, it's important to get them in here. It's important that they understand the heat, that they understand what they're going to be doing. But he is not drawing conclusions from what is going on. And what is going on now may look entirely different than what goes on August 2nd.
Let me just throw it in, because you were in Indy, but here, we didn't get to go out on the field and watch the on-the-field activities
right.
that they did. We would get, you know, 2 or 3 times to talk to Tom, who
right.
was the coach then, and we might get into the locker room once or twice to, you know, see.
Yeah, when I was covered, I think you got mini camp. I think you got the 3-day mini camp.
That was it.
But
you didn't get anything else.
OTAs weren't a thing you covered.
No. So the really interesting part of this is how people are trying to make a big story out of something. So let's take it to the next point, and that is the Brandon Linder at center thing, which is what the media is going to focus on
sure.
today, because Doug Marrone had some fun with it, and Ryan O'Halloran got a little upset with it, and so they're going to make that the story. But, you know, in talking to some people who know what they're looking at out there, Brandon Linder isn't the story. Neither why can't I think of the name? I'm old. I can't think of the name. Shatley.
Right.
Right? Neither is Tyler Shatley. The story is A.J. Cann.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we all assume Brandon Albert's coming.
Right.
Best five, right? Brandon Albert, Cam Robinson, Brandon Linder, Jeremy Parnell. So who's the guy
right.
that's going to be your best guard?
Right.
Well, A.J. Cann in the right guard spot is the guy that's got this whole thing going, because based on last year, they can't count on him.
Right.
And Doug today talked about the fact that he thought he was talented enough to play at the NFL level.
They want him to be the guy.
Right. But if all he's saying is he's talented enough.
Right.
Yeah, the talent's there. That's why you drafted him in the third round. He didn't play that well last year, and we can't count on him.
Clearly, this team is not going into training. You know, it would be unusual if it went into training camp thinking, boy, every starter that we've got, we love, and nothing's going to get proven. I think A.J. Cann's got to play well during training camp. He's got to prove he should be in the lineup. And I think that's what overall they're doing with the offensive line is, look, it's June. And Doug, I don't think, feels like you're losing any ground with the offensive line if you toy around with some of the experiments during non-padded work.
Right. Because it's
right.
meaningless.
You're
he,
not
he's essentially said.
You know, if Brandon Linder gets a few reps away from center for these 3 days, I don't think Doug's worried that when you look on the field on August 11th, you're going to be like, oh, man, if we'd only had Linder at guard for those 3 days, we'd be so much better right now. He's not losing anything with that.
No. And the thing he said was, it's a luxury to have Brandon Linder, who can play right guard or center.
They're trying to get, and
effortlessly,
I'm looking for a way to put it so that people understand it. They're trying to use this period to make sure that when they go to training camp, there's not a lot of learning going on in terms of learning how to line up, learning. They want it to feel comfortable. So you want to get Brandon Linder a lot of reps at both. You want to get A.J. Can a lot of reps at right and left. You want to get all these guys some mental reps at the spots where there might be some competition early in camp so that you're not trying to do that part of it in camp. And that's what this is about. And it's not about, you know, you're always being evaluated with this bunch. I get that. But you can tell from listening to Doug Marrone that he is not grabbing a depth chart, putting it on his wall, and setting things in stone on that depth chart based on what he's seeing in an unpadded practice.
I don't want to call it fake news because I'm not even sure what that is anymore. But if I were the coach, if I was Tom, I wouldn't want the media out there at all. And I know people are listening to this going, but you are media. Well,
right.
Okay, but understand what I'm saying is...
Well, there are league rules now that there are certain marks that it has to be. And that's okay, but...
But the reason why I wouldn't want them out there at all is because stories that aren't stories become stories.
That's
and then
what it
Doug
is.
Has to answer questions like he did about Linder today about a non-story. Because we're out there and we have to provide some sort of content because people want it, you're taking something artificial like OTA equating to practice, and you're creating an expectation.
Remember when Jalen Ramsey was holding out the first day?
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, I was being sarcastic, but you know, that's when I first started really thinking about this concept of, man, you know, we are talking about a guy missing one voluntary practice out of 13 that we're going to go. I'm sorry, the 10 are voluntary, the 3 in the minicamp are mandatory. You know, there was a time not very long ago where a veteran, which Jalen is a second-year guy, but he's a veteran in terms of they know what he can do. I'm watching Jalen Ramsey out there today, and he's covering guys, and I'm thinking, man, if I'm a coach, I'm not sure I'd want the guy even on the field right now. I don't want this guy getting hurt right now. I know what he can do. I know Jalen Ramsey's going to be fine. Give him 14 training camp practices, he's going to be ready for the opener. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to pull Jalen Ramsey out of practice, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
If I had a real valuable guy and my 6-7 core guys, whoever they think those guys are, I don't know if I'm Doug Marrone if I would have Calais Campbell out there.
No. Because what he
What's
said.
What's he learning?
Nothing. Nothing.
But
the mental
right
reps.
Now there's a message, there's mental reps, you want everybody to be out there. I get why they're doing it. But in the long term, you know, there's not a lot to be gained for veterans in this. There's just not.
No, I don't think so either. Hey, we got to go back to earlier in the week and Telvin Smith's comments. And I know we've had a chance to discuss him here and there. Doug talked about him today. Mm-hmm. He didn't seem all that perturbed by it, but he didn't necessarily think that it was accurate. And maybe that's right along the vein of what we're talking about. Hey, it's too early to know.
Doug has a real nice perspective on this. Of he knows he's coaching professional football players. He's not coaching college football players. And I think that ties into what we're talking about with his perspective on the OTAs. He understands what they are. He's not going to minimize them and tell the guys they're not important. But he's also going to say, hey, these are important, but they ain't important compared to what we're about to do. Same thing with Telvin Smith. He knows, I don't think he was nuts about the way Telvin handled it. I think he would have preferred had he gone, and he said this, he'd have preferred that he would have gone to talk to the teammates. He said, I'm paraphrasing Doug, doesn't love the sending the message through the media. He's not sure it's what Telvin was doing, but if it was, he's not big on that. I think generally speaking, the vibe I got from Doug is he would have preferred had Telvin not really said anything. But he's not angry that he did. It's a thing. And it's one of those things that if he worried about everything like this that happened during the season, he's going to be worried about a lot of stuff that isn't important in the grand scheme of things. So, again, I like the candor. He approaches things in a way, and you've been getting at it this whole segment. He approaches things. He knows he's coaching professional football players. And I have never heard Doug in a meeting, but I get the idea that when Doug goes into a meeting with guys, he basically tells them, hey, a couple things. Work hard and don't screw this thing up.
That's so old school.
Right.
His approach goes back. He would have fit in effortlessly, I think, when Tom Coughlin was coaching here in 95.
Sure.
I mean, you could have put him back in the 70s.
He'd been line coach then.
In the 60s, he would have been just fine because that's his approach to the game. It's about, what was it that and Vic Ketchman used to say this all the time. He used to tell Chuck Knoll stories. That Chuck didn't even have a whistle. Chuck would say, all right, now we go over here.
Right.
Never too high, never too low. And for a guy who can be funny and who can get intense, he just reminds me of that kind of a guy. It's like, all right, now we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this, and don't worry about that.
There's a lot to that. And, you know, Doug, I'm not portraying myself to know him very well, but you get to know them as they're on the podium. You get to know their personalities a little bit. You can tell Doug, if they win 49-0, he's going to be a little irritated that they didn't win 56-0 because they screwed up the last drive. I mean, he's going to always have this high demand, always worry about it. But I think he has – my guess is, and it's a little early to talk to players about what they really like about the guy because you haven't seen him go through the fire of a whole season. But my guess is that players are going to like the way he communicates with them because it seems like he treats them like men. He understands that they are – in a sense, in the NFL, you're equals. You know, you're not. You have to listen to the coach and his discipline, but it can't be college where you are keeping guys down. You have to have their input. You have to know that they're men. They're 32-year-old men. They're not 22-year-old kids. And he seems to have a good grasp on that. I like his approach on that front.
Does he remind you of Tony Dungy at all? And the reason I say that, and I want to tell people this, is that after the game, and I've told you this before, but after the game here in 2006 when the Jaguars ran over them for 375 yards, right? Fred and Maurice both went over 100 that day. I thought they were done. Mm-hmm. And I went into his post-game news conference right across the hall from where we are right now, and he was very calm. He said, now look, we can fix it. With a couple things we can do here and there, we can fix it. And he was right. I mean, they won the Super Bowl,
sure. And
the defense played lights out, as you well know.
Bob Sanders came back.
Well, that's a big part of
but,
it.
No,
but it was his demeanor.
I get
that,
your point on this, though.
It was
absolutely
his demeanor that day, which was even-keeled,
yeah,
right?
Even-keeled.
And I understand that Tony is a notch closer to the very middle of even-keeled than Doug probably is. But I've been kind of impressed with the way that he's just handled anything with aplomb.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I think every coach would deep, deep down aspire to be as even keel as Tony. That was his gift among any others. That was what he did well, and he was able to do it. He had that calm demeanor, and he really believed in it. That's sort of the ideal. I don't know that Doug is that even keel, because he will say, I get emotional, I don't like this. But
he's a little more animated than Tony.
What I think, in terms of important things for a coach, I thought there's always some similarities in the great ones. And the similarities come from consistency of message, the ability to, in this league, treat guys like professionals, understand that you are dealing with professionals and adults rather than high school kids. And not every NFL coach does.
Right.
And I think on those fronts, on the important fronts, I do feel like there are some similarities.
All right. Anything else to add from the week?
I thought everyone wants to know about Blake. Today, you know, I said last week, I didn't think he was great, didn't think he was awful. I thought he was really good for a while today, and then I thought he tailed off a little bit today, just in different parts of practice. But I thought overall, I thought there was a lot of times where he looked better. So, you know, I don't know how that translates. I have no idea what was the first couple of days this week. But, again, I do think he's the best quarterback on the roster.
I feel stupid even asking the question because we just got done saying it's not practice. Don't draw too many conclusions from it, right? And then you, of course, have to answer it. But the one guy that I watched this week, again, I mean, they're not wearing pads, was Allen Robinson. I thought, I mean, look, he's always going to look better than most of the guys that he's out there playing against. But he made a big-time one-handed grab today. Working against Boye, and again, I'm looking to see how he used his body on Boye, because Boye is not tiny.
Yeah,
and I thought he, you know, I was impressed with him this week. He stood out to me as a guy. He looked and went, "Wow, he's really good. he'll probably rebound this year if the quarterback does.
Yeah, not surprised. I thought Marquise, again, continued. Marquise Lee, he's that sort of talent, that sort of physical talent that when he's healthy, he's different than other people who play this game.
Four practices next week.
Can't wait. Cannot wait, Brian.
I can see the intensity in your eyes. And that intensity says, when does vacation start?
Sure. So, but seven more, and you know the next 7 days, we'll get to see four of them, Friday and the three minicamp days. And I think those 4 days will be interesting to watch Blake because it'll be 4 days where you can see him, you know, see four straight days and get a better feel for how he is overall rather than just seeing him one day.
So no narrative from us today about what the week is like. The key word is perspective, which is what two old guys provide. Senior Moments is all about perspective.
We can try.
John, thanks so much. Enjoy your weekend.
All right, Brian, you too.
Folks, enjoy it. We'll talk to you soon.